look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're joined by John Robertson and also Pastor Flip Benham. We're talking about, of course, the larger issue that's represented by the executive fiat, the regulation by the, let me be very specific. It's called significant guidance. Issued by the U.S. Department of Justice in tandem with the U.S. Department of Education.
And if I can jump in, the guidance here, you've seen me pronounce several FDA and HHS guidances on RFID mobile health.
That is correct.
Where they always say, state at the very end of the guidance, that this is not to be interpreted as law. This is not law. This is something that agencies should follow when thinking about making policy or making policy.
Well, it's clearly, this is an executive fiat, a desperate attempt by the renegade in chief, by the despot in chief, to circumvent the constitutional process through executive fiat. However, it's more than that. It is an attack on our Judeo-Christian beliefs, our ideologies. You see, very quickly, and I'll be very quick with this. There was a book entitled Our Culture, What's Left of It by Theodore Dalrymple, written here recently, and I'll just quote from it. He writes this: political correctness, which, by the way, this is, it's communist propaganda writ small, writes this author. In my study of communist societies, I came to the conclusion that the purpose of communist propaganda was not to persuade or to convince, nor to inform, but to humiliate. And therefore, the less it corresponded to reality, the better. When people are forced to remain silent, when they're being told the most obvious lies, or even worse, when they're forced to repeat the lies themselves, they lose once and for all their sense of probity, integrity, sense of right and wrong, whatever you want to call that. To assent to obvious lies is to cooperate with evil and in some small way become evil oneself. And I've long stated that to accept the lesser of two evils is to ascribe to evil. And by acceptance or acquiescence of evil, you are facilitating, if not fully embracing, and even in some cases exporting evil. We must get away from that. That's my comments, not this author's. And to just continue finally with the last two sentences here, from Theodore Dalrymple in his work, Our Culture, What's Left of It. One standing to resist anything is thus eroded and even destroyed. A society of emasculated liars is easy to control. I think if you examine political correctness, it has the same effect and is intended to. Therefore, and now this is me talking, okay, therefore, what we're witnessing by anywhere between 1 to 3% of the population is a well-funded, heavily orchestrated, heavily tactically really efficient agenda to not only bring down our culture, our country, our way of life, but to put a muzzle on every one of us who believes in the Bible, the Holy Bible, in the inerrant Word of God, which will be criminalized. First, it'll be censored, and that's being done. It's going to shut people like me up, and that, I guarantee you, that's very pleasing to many, even some self-righteous Christians. And trust me when I tell you, we have an abundance, an overabundance of self-righteous Christians who believe that they need to go after other Christians for issues such as this, because of course we must be more tolerant. They pervert the gospel. They pervert the Word of God. They pervert everything that's good in the name of Christianity. Not here, not now, not today, not ever. Trust me when I tell you, we will be on the front lines to fight this. And understand one more thing before I turn this over. If you don't think that we, as members of the alternative media, are paying and will be paying a heavy price for our position, you don't have a clue of what's coming your way. Because one day, and I don't care if you work as a janitor in school, in a school, and that's not to put down janitors. And I don't care if you're the head of a school board. Trust me when I tell you, your rights are being infringed, and your ability to speak your beliefs will be expunged. And there goes our country. Not only that, there goes our ability to worship freely. That's what this is all about. And if you don't think that this matter is as important as the geopolitics that we're seeing take place today and is threatening to civilization as the geopolitics of today, then you're sadly mistaken. And I know some people are turning this broadcast off because they don't want to hear this. Oh, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about this. This is a distraction, they might say. It is not. It's at the epicenter of our faith, our culture, and our survival. Go ahead.
Absolutely. We have with us John Robertson and Pastor Flip Benham. And I want to thank again both of these gentlemen for coming on, because I know they did a show with us not too long ago. We were going to do another installation of that show, but wanted to switch gears with the transgender news, the revelations that's been going on and ongoing in the news. Flip Benham's website, OperationSaveAmerica.org. That's OperationSaveAmerica.org. He's on the front lines battling with abortion clinics and trying to save the unborn babies, and has been doing so for a long time. And John Robertson, our Hollywood insider, a friend of the show, and in the thick of the battle as well. Gentlemen, I'm going to welcome you back. John, I'm going to turn it over to you, and let us get this hour two started.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. Doug and Joe, thank you for standing right in the middle of this fight with us. As I said in hour one, you know, here's a quick word to the detractors that Doug touched upon a moment ago. If you don't understand that this is the pivotal moment in the American church, then with all due respect to the fact that we worship the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're confused, okay? So hear me, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, full of self-righteous indignation, get your head out of a hole, because that's where you're at if you don't get what this fight's about. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just calling it like I see it. And again, as I stated in hour one, I've got a whole lot of the brothers that are part of the Hagman and Hagman family on my back, because we understand what this is. Men of the Hagman and Hagman Report, I want to speak to you for a moment exclusively, not to exclude women, but I'm just, it's upon my heart to speak to the men right now. I'm asking you to make two phone calls, just two phone calls. I'm not asking you to go on air or pick up a sword or write an article or anything else, make two calls. I want you to call the principal of your kid's school, okay? And I want you to just clarify a couple things with them. Hello, Mr. Principal. If my 13-year-old daughter attends school, will she be subjected to either puberty-fueled, sexually driven young boys potentially changing and showering with her in the locker room or using the restroom next to her? If that is in fact going to happen, will my same 13-year-old daughter be suspended for talking about the gospel or suggesting the importance of the life of Jesus Christ in history class? Same with your son. Hear me, men. Ask them, is my son going to be placed in a situation where he's being challenged by other young men of a confused sexual stronghold that's been placed upon them probably since a very young age? But if that same son of mine wears a T-shirt to school that says John 3:16 on it, he's taking a vacation, an administration-mandated vacation. That's one call. Call your principals. It's easy to do. The second call I want you to make, men, I'm asking you, tomorrow night is Wild Wednesdays on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug and Joe, open up the phone lines for the entire show. I want you to make tomorrow night's show smoke, okay? This is it. We hear this metaphor all the time from all the brothers and sisters that come on these shows about how the boat is getting near the falls. We're going to go over the falls. We're going to go over the cliff. Folks, we went over, okay? We went over. Prepare for impact. That's what's going on, and that's why Slip and I are with you tonight. As Joe said, we had another show planned, a second installation about the American church today, and we'll bring that to you folks later. What I want to do before I turn it back over to Slip, I want to go over a couple of definitions, because Doug hit this perfectly. In the book 1984 by George Orwell, it's called Newspeak, okay? And Doug Hagman has been saying this for years on this show. Words have meanings. I'm going to demonstrate right now the difference. You know, Slip talked in hour one about the feet of the serpent and the feet of our risen Savior and the difference. And I'm going to demonstrate that difference right now by simple definition of words. So hang with me here, folks. This is from Breitbart.com, April 27, 2016, written by Katie McHugh. It's very short. Quote, Barack Obama's Department of Justice is deploying a new term for convicted criminals. Justice-involved individuals. Not criminals, not convicts, not inmates. No. Barack Obama has determined they are justice-involved individuals. Newspeak. Be very discerning about this, because as they change the words we use, or at least attempt to, they will confuse many in the church. Let's take a look at what Merriam-Webster.com has to say about gender identity. And this is important because there's two definitions here, the original definition and the updated definition. I'm going to give you the original definition first for gender identity, again, Merriam-Webster.com. Gender identity, a person's internal sense of being male, female, some combination of male and female, or neither male or female. Now, I'd like to point out that on the paper that the White House sent down to the Department of Education and the Department of Justice this last Friday, Friday the 13th, May 2016, by the way, folks, you can read it in its entirety at www.2.ed.gov. That website, once again, is www.2.ed.gov. On page 3 of that, they begin referring to students, both male and female, as it, much like you would, I don't know, a pet or an inanimate object. Back to gender identity, Merriam-Webster, this is the new definition. Quote, the totality of physical and behavioral traits that are designated by a culture as masculine or feminine. Excuse me, but I think that it was the Lord God when he touched each would-be man with that divine spark of life who determined whether it be masculine or feminine, certainly not to be determined by a culture, designated by a culture. Let's take a look at the definition quickly of transgender. Transgender, of, relating to, or being a person, this is parenthetical, as transsexual or transvestite, who identifies with or expresses a gender identity that differs from the person's sex at birth. Again, back to what Flip said last hour. It is a humanist approach proclaiming I am God, and most importantly, it's a lie straight from hell. And here's one just to give you a quick giggle, since this is kind of a heavy show tonight. Here's Here's a new word that I bet almost none of you have heard because it blew me back in my chair 2 days ago. The word is cisgender. C-I-S-G-E-N-D-E-R. Cisgender. Cisgender, folks, is defined by Merriam-Webster as being the following, quote, of, relating to, or being a person whose gender identity corresponds with the sex the person had or was identified as having at birth. Cisgender? Folks, up until Thursday, May 15th, that was called normal. No, no, now it's cisgender. Listen, there is no such thing as transgender in the dictionary of the kingdom of God. I had the blessing to speak with Pastor Langford quickly before the show today. We had a great prayer. You know, Pastor Langford said, and I quote, somebody better stand up, end quote. And we call Pastor Langford the spiritual advisor to the Hagman & Hagman Report. And he said to me, John, quote, somebody better stand up, unquote. And I'm asking the thousands upon thousands of you that are listening to this show tonight, stand accountable. Stand up. Call your principal. Make tomorrow night's Wild Wednesday historic on the Hagman & Hagman Report. Dads, grandfathers, mothers, grandmothers, if you're legal guardians, if you're not fired up, then you're not paying attention. Come on. The church has slept for 50 years while every single moral standard placed gifted to us by God so that we could have proper civilization has been completely vulgarized and totally counterfeited. This is what's going on. How does somebody become transgender? You know, lots of Christians feel this sort of emotionally driven empathy for the plight of the transgender. This is what you've got to understand. It is a sin and it is a stronghold that is embedded deep within a child when they are very, very young often, and even precognitive. And you say, well, that's not very fair. How can that happen? I'll explain to you how it happens. And Pastor Langford, if you're listening, brother, thank you for helping me sort this out. Folks, children are sanctified through their parents until the age of accountability. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, uncles and aunts, listen to me. This is why you must be holy and of good repute and of good rapport with your kids and grandkids. Don't have one too many at Easter or their birthday party because they see that and it brings the flow of sin generationally into the family. Children are sanctified through their parents until the age of accountability. Now, how do we know this? Well, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 7:14. This is the King James Version. 1 Corinthians 7:14, quote, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Words mean something. Sanctified. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Now, if you follow 1 Corinthians 7:14, where does that bring you? Well, here's the beautiful part. Watch this. This is how much our God loves us. Even the biggest sinners among us. Proverbs 22:6, King James Version, quote, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the beauty of it. If you do it right, the Lord gives you the power and the strength, and you can actually protect your young children from a demonic stronghold being placed deep within them so that a couple years later they may in fact identify as transgender. I want to read quickly, and these are very brief, folks, and then I'm going to hand it back to Flip. These are directly from that letter that King Hussein sent down through Loretta Lynch and little Arnie over at the Department of Education on Friday, May 13th. This is, again, www.2.ed.gov. Quote, restrooms and locker rooms. A school may provide separate facilities on the basis of sex, but must allow transgender students access to such facilities consistent with their gender identity. Remember what Flip said last hour. It's all about me. I am my own God, and I will determine if I am a boy or a girl. I quote Greg Jackson, you're either a chick or a dude. Lastly, again, from the same paper coming down from King Hussein over there in the White House. Quote, housing and overnight accommodation. Now, I want you folks to really stop and think about this. Housing and overnight accommodations. Sixth grade science camp. Cheerleading camp. Football training camp. Housing and overnight accommodations. And they use Title IX, which, as Doug pointed out, was originally written in 1972 as part of Equality for Women. Title IX allows a school to provide separate housing on the basis of sex. Listen to me. But a school must allow transgender students access to housing consistent with their gender identity. So men of the church, men of the Hagman and Hagman Report, you can either pick up the phone and call your principal and make some noise. You can pick up the phone tomorrow night and Doug and Joe will hand the mic to you. Or you can keep your son home from sixth grade science camp and you can keep your daughter home from cheerleading camp. Or you can just let them go and gamble with potential rape, molestation, and at the very least, some serious confusion. I'm going to pass it back to Flip. Brother Flip, if you would, you know, I wanted to do this tonight with you, especially because you have been in the absolute middle of the melee there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And folks, for those of you who don't know, Flip Bennett has taken so much heat, including on a lot of these frontline alternative internet media platforms. He's taken a lot of heat. He's been called all kinds of names because he's been getting his knuckles scraped up and getting bloody in this fight in Charlotte, North Carolina. My brother Flip Bennett has stood strong. He has stood on the word of God, and he has stood in the city council meeting and directly addressed the mayor. If I remember correctly, Flip, I think she gave you, what, about 7 minutes to speak to her. Flip, I'm going to pass the mic to you, brother, and
hang on just 1 second, John and Flip, just one moment, please. Indulge me just one moment here. I just want to make this point. An argument that will be made and is being made by the proponents of perversion is this lie that there have been no incidents of sexual assault except by those who are homosexual, for example, or homophobes, except by homophobes against those innocent victims. That is a lie from the pits of hell. The mainstream corporate media is blacklisting all incidents of sexual assaults, peeping toms, perversions in the ladies' rooms and restrooms, I should say, perversions all across America. Right now, I've got five, and I'm not going to go through them, but just Lancaster, Pennsylvania, on April 18th last, okay, James Shoemaker, he's accused of using a phone to look at a 10-year-old girl in Sheets restroom. Clearwater, Florida, Ricky Blake Thompson, look that up. April 30th, 2016. Olympia, Washington, January 25th of this year, sexual assault victim speaks out against Washington's transgender bathroom policies. Seattle, Washington, unidentified male in locker room cites gender rule. That from KGW News, February 16th, 2016. Prince William County, that on November 7th of last year, dressed like a woman in Potomac Mills, using a woman's restroom to peep on ladies. So, if you, ladies and gentlemen, do not believe the lies that perversions are not taking place. I just want to insert that here.
And I don't know if you mentioned it, but there was recently a man who choked an 8-year-old girl in a bathroom. And her mom found her and rescued her. He was the man
exactly.
was trying to
yes.
drag the
yes.
unconscious girl into a stall.
Yes,
and that
yes.
was just in the last week as well.
So we have made the perversion of pedophilia much easier for these moral, spiritual, bankrupt degenerates. And I want to hear Christians, and I want to see Christians stand up and say no to this. Go ahead, Pastor Flip Bennett.
Well, and boy, I'll tell you, that's what was happening here in Charlotte. There are a bunch of lies going on. Back in 2015, our city council decided that they were going to try and pass legislation that would open up bathrooms in public places and government buildings, open up the bathrooms, ladies' bathrooms, that men can go in there if they feel that they're identifying. And they were going to add to our non-discrimination ordinance five little categories. Those five categories were these. One was familial status, sexual orientation, gender identity, marital status, and gender expression. They were going to add these five things to the non-discrimination ordinance that we had established in 1961, and the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Community Relations Committee was the one that came up with these five things, not these gender, race, but listen to the five things they said. You couldn't discriminate on the basis of this. Of race, gender, that would be if you're born a male or female, religion, national origin, and ethnicity. And then later, in 1991, they added age, and then in 1996, they added disability. Do you know what? All of those things, now that's seven of them, all of those things are right. We should not discriminate on the basis of race or gender, religion, national origin, ethnicity, age, or handicap. We shouldn't. But now, this group decided in 2015, very clandestinely in the city council to, on February 22nd, to bring to a vote immediately, not contacting any of the churches or letting anyone know what was going on, they were going to add these five things, which included sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. They were going to add those things to the non-discrimination ordinance. Well, what's wrong with that? Look, the truth is what's wrong with that. The truth has to be proclaimed. Listen, it is not a sin to be black. It is not a sin to be born a male. It is not a sin to be born a female. It is not a sin to be a Jew. It is not. I mean, it is not a sin to be handicapped. It's not a sin to be old. But it is a sin to begin to identify. Homosexuality is a sin. It can never be made. You cannot make a moral wrong a civil right. And that's exactly what President Obama and Loretta Lynch are trying to do. They are trying to reorient the whole 1964 Civil Rights Act into something that it was never to be in Title IX. There is no way that you can make a sin good or a civil right. And that is what we're doing. Look, it's the truth that is under attack. And we are seeing an absolute redefinition of the truth. We are seeing the sin that took place in the garden, that you begin to participate in evil, you determine what is good and what is evil. We are seeing that happen here. Now look, we as Christians have to have eyes to see this. It is so much bigger than bathrooms. It is so much bigger than abortion. It is so much bigger than Islam. It is so much bigger. It is the battle that we have been called to fight as Christians. And so what do we do? I'm going to tell you something. First, we better relearn our history. What made America great? Why is America the greatest and freest nation that has ever been on the face of this earth? We're the individual, that we realize that we are created with certain unalienable rights, and these are self-evident. Well, they're not so self-evident anymore as you listen to John go through the definitions. I couldn't understand half of them, you know, because things get real complicated when you're lying. Things get real complicated when you're trying to cover up the truth, and you got to play games with words. Whenever anybody says to you, it's complicated, you better watch out for that person. If we're going to tell you it's complicated, then you better know that this isn't coming from the Word of God, because God is not complicated. Little children understand it, and we need to understand it. So what do we do when we see truth come under attack? Well, I'm going to tell you the first thing we got to do is restate the truth, and do it boldly, and do it with courage, and do it with conviction. This is what we need. Just restate the truth. Say the Word of God. When the devil tempted Jesus, what did he use to fight the devil? The Word of God. We can count on the Word of God. It doesn't change because our God doesn't change. And it is what sets us free. And his Word, when it's spoken, it makes things. It creates things. It unleashes supernatural power into those who will use it, the Word of God, and to use it properly. You know, the difference, I think Mark Twain, or Samuel, known as Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, wrote this. He said, you know, the difference between a right word and an exact word is the difference between a lightning bug and lightning. I think that's a pretty good statement. We need to restate God's truth. We don't need to be lightning bugs telling everybody about the Word of God or what it says there. We need to use the Word of God, and we need to use it rightly. And that means that we've got to get more familiar with the Word of God, because most of us have forgotten it. We're out there wringing our hands wondering, what's God going to do now? I mean, I believe in Him, but you don't know how to apply it. You're not like the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And so you just don't know the Word of God, and therefore you're sort of hopeless, and you're beginning to lose hope, and you just begin to fall into that pool of despond and despair and depression from which you can't extricate yourself. Well, God says, stop it. I've got a word for you every day, and if you'll come and visit me in my office, which is wherever you are, He'll be there, and He has the light on, and He's saying, look, just get up a little early in the morning. Come on, I'll give you the instructions for the day. I'll give you information that your kids are going to need. I'll help you. I will do supernatural things for you. I will show you what I want you to do if you will just trust me and be in my word. But don't lean on your own understanding and try and overcome this and try and make it happen, because it isn't going to work. So the first thing that we must do is restate the truth with conviction and Holy Spirit power and anointing, and God begins to move things. And then we need to reaffirm the truth. We need to reaffirm the fact that I believe that, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to place my life on the line for it. And that's no gamble for me, because I know it's true. I know it's true. Reaffirm the Word of God. Reaffirm and help reaffirm and re-encourage a whole bunch of other people that are losing courage. They're beginning to hide. So many men of God are hiding now in caves while Goliath is out there prancing around saying, send me a man. And everybody's hearing those taunts. Well, David heard the same taunt, and he ran right at that giant and took him out. But the fact of the matter is, most of the army was in the caves. They were hiding. God wants us out of the cave. Get out of the closet. The enemies of God are out of the closet. Church, get out of the closet. If you know the truth that sets you free, then reaffirm it. Reaffirm it, and then finally, reapply it. We're going to apply this to our city council, which in 2015 took a vote and almost won back on February 22nd, 2015, but for the fact that hundreds and thousands of Christians came out to that city hall and they realized they couldn't handle this, and they got scared. They did. And the mayor, Roberts, is an enemy of Almighty God. Now, she wasn't the mayor then. There was another man that was the mayor. But the city council took a vote. They thought they had the vote right, and they lost it 6-5 because they couldn't count. God had sent a mix-up in them. They couldn't count, and they lost that vote. And we, as Christians, were rejoicing because we had prayed that God would send confusion upon them, and sure enough, confusion came upon them, and they didn't pass that bill, and we thought it was done. But we made a big mistake. You see, we, the Church of Jesus Christ in the city of Charlotte, could have handled this issue, because we knew that we needed to get a new mayor elected, because election time was coming up in November. And unfortunately, 34% of the LGBT community in Charlotte turned out to vote. 8% of the Church of Jesus Christ turned out to vote. And guess what? We got an enemy of Almighty God in a little lady by the name of Jennifer Roberts, who'd served as county commissioner. She is pro-homosexual, pro-abortion. She is against everything about God, and yet she uses His name all the time. And I have had opportunities to confront her on several occasions in the city council and tell her, and just to remind her, ma'am, you dug this hole, and you're going to fall into it yourself. You have turned not only our city into moral chaos, and all hell is breaking loose in our city, but you have got our state in huge trouble because of this non-discrimination ordinance that you finally got passed in a 7-4 vote. And it was her. She was elected for the specific purpose to make this the first item on her agenda, this non-discrimination ordinance. And so the city of Charlotte was the city that got this whole thing started, and finally we got our state legislature to vote on a thing called HB2. You know, I've noticed in all of the media reporting that all of the media just seems to think that HB2 was something that was just formed, you know, for no reason at all. They just wanted to discriminate against everybody. That was such a lie. It was brought into place and voted into law and signed by our governor, McCrory, and it was done to stop the nonsense that was happening in the Charlotte City Council. And it put a stop to all opening up all of the bathrooms and being able to sue certain businesses that did not comply with that ordinance. So it just put a stop to the whole thing. HB 2 was a great bill because it took out the five things that the homosexual community had added to the non-discrimination ordinance, which was family status, marital status, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. It just removed all of those. And it said that no business can be sued for not allowing men into ladies' bathrooms. It made that statement. It was really a great bill, and it is a great law. Now, our governor changed that a little bit and added sexual orientation in there. That was a bad move on his part. But let me tell you what has happened to us and what we've realized. We could have, as the Church of Jesus Christ, solved this whole issue if just more than 8% of us had turned out to vote in the city. So we are going to take the mayorship back from Jennifer Roberts. We are going to win. We're going to get two more councilmen in there, and we've got the vision that we're going to take all of those council members out and put in council members that fear Almighty God. This is the power. We can actually do this, and we're going to do it here in the city of Charlotte. Now, we can't rely on our friends in Raleigh to always bail us out, but what we found out is what went to Raleigh and then became a state issue, then became a national issue. And now we've got Barack Obama on Friday the 13th just deciding that he's going to do this. By fiat. Yes, he is. He is going to do this and throw us into such incredible chaos. Can you imagine how confusing this is for our kids right now? Look at kids that have got all sorts of things going on inside of them as they're growing up, and now they're trying to figure out, well, I should be homosexual friendly. I don't want everybody to hate me. I don't want them to think that I'm a homophobe. What are we doing to our kids? This is child abuse, and it's going on, and it's going on with the express consent of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that have failed here, and we're getting our fingers pointed in the right direction. Now we know that we are going to replace the mayor. You see, we're going to restate the truth. We're going to reaffirm the truth. We're going to reapply it by moving all of them out of their office. And we are going to be vigilant. And we are going to be salt in our city. We're going to be light in our city. And we're not going to put up with this anymore. Now, as for Target, look, you begin to see how big this battle is, because and how much it's not just about money. If you think Target is losing a bunch of cash and they're losing a bunch of folks that would shop there that will never go back again no matter what Target does. But you see, it doesn't matter to Target. It's almost like you see the very same spirit that inhabited Pharaoh. Remember? Pharaoh, I mean, all of Egypt was destroyed by the plagues, and now Pharaoh is chasing the Israelites and is going to go right across the Red Sea, trying to do it the same way that Moses and the Israelites got across the Red Sea, and that was not a good idea. And all of them drown. But his leaders said to him, "Do you not realize, Pharaoh, that all of Egypt is ruined?" But it wouldn't stop him. He was going to go because he was driven by the devil himself. The devil doesn't care about Pharaoh. He could care less about Pharaoh. He's got lots of pharaohs, many pharaohs. He owns them. And it just, see, so the bottom line is, even if it means my destruction, I don't care. It's just let everything be destroyed. Same thing with Adolf Hitler. He should have ended that war a long time before he did, because he knew they were going to lose, but he couldn't stop. He continued to go. It's the spirit in him. And that same spirit is dwelling in Jennifer Roberts, who is our mayor, and several of the council people that are sitting on that council, and that's the battle that we fight. Look, in Target, they don't care about how much money. They don't even understand what they're doing. Anybody with a common sense, if money is your bottom line, then you're going to just repent of what you did and try and get all the customers back you can. But do you think that's going to stop Target? No way. They'll take it right down to the ground because they don't realize that the spirit that's dwelling in them is going to destroy them as it destroys everything else. That's what is happening. This is the battle that we fight. And when we know that spirit, we know that there's no way to buy your way out. If you ever watched the Dark Knight, the Batman movie, The Dark Knight, and I think the Joker played the greatest villain, the greatest, he performed and acted out the devil better than anyone I have ever seen when he was sitting on top of that money. And he said, and there were piles and piles of money, and all the gangsters were around him, and he just poured gasoline all over it and set it on fire. I said, are you nuts? Why would you do that? And he says, I don't know. I'm just an agent of chaos. And that's the spirit that we're dealing with. This is an agent of chaos. He's seeking to just deform and dement our children with all sorts of lies. They don't know anything worth that they can really stand on, or anyone that's telling the truth, and they're not hearing about it. I talked about in the pulpits, but this is something that we've got to get into the hearts of our kids, or we're going to lose every single one of them. And listen, the next generation and the generations coming behind us are depending upon us. So here's what we're going to do in Charlotte. We are going to take the city council back again, and no matter what they do up in Raleigh or what they do in Washington, D.C., at least in our city, this is not going to happen anymore. Where it began, it's going to end, and we are going to reapply the truth of God's word, and we're going to stand for it. Now, this is what we are called to do. This is the hope that we have, and you know what? Target is going to go down the chute. My prayer is that it goes down all the way, and that other corporations will take a look and say, you know, that are not run by the seed of the serpent, and say, I don't want that. I don't want to lose these folks. And all of a sudden, when one of these giants goes down, a whole lot more that are boasting and bragging and doing all of their stuff, they're going to come down too. So I'm thankful to be a part of that. You've got a little bit of the history of what's going on. We have addressed our city council over and over again to the point where now Jennifer Roberts has limited our speaking. We're only allowed to speak now once a quarter to our city council, and that only for 3 minutes at a time. It's insane. They are just wanting to shut us up. And the last time I was with them last week, she said, Reverend Benham, this has nothing to do with the budget report. You were supposed to speak on the budget report. And I said, I am. Unless the Lord builds the house, the labor's labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. If God isn't the foundation of this, and Jennifer Roberts, you have shaken your tiny little fist in the face of God, and he has called you to repent and turn to himself. Reverend Benham, stop it! Stop this! You can't talk like that! And I said, but ma'am, I got my 3 minutes and I'm talking about the budget. And she said, this has nothing to do with the budget. Yes, it does, because it was God that made Charlotte. Now, what are we? The sixth fastest growing city in this country and the 16th largest city in our country. There is so much building going on down there in Charlotte, but I'm telling you what our little mayor is doing. She's been mayor for just a few months now, sworn in as mayor in January. So just a few months, and she has totally turned this city upside down. Now, the building is still going on, but we'll see the after effects of this as time goes on, as she has turned her back completely on Almighty God. Our prayer is that we get our folks in there and that we repent before Almighty God and before our city and before our nation and say, never again, never.
Amen.
Brother. Amen, Flip. Well, John, if I can jump in real quick. Please, Flip, you just said something very important. And you talked about how Target will, they don't care about the money. They don't care about their customers, nor do they care about their employees. You know, acting as an agent of evil, they will bring and burn themselves down to the ground. Look at what the Republican Party is doing right now. They are doing the same thing.
They are, in the face of a Trump nomination, they are willing to burn their party to the ground rather than hand it to this man. And what you said, you can never make a moral wrong a civil right, needs to be turned into a bumper sticker and put everywhere.
Well, brother, just do it. We've got to restate it. That's a way that it can be restated. People understand that in just a few words.
Absolutely. Well, they certainly do. And if I may, gentlemen, I just want to jump in for 1 or 2 minutes because I want to give the folks listening a couple of solution possibilities here, and then I'll hand it back to Flip to close out our couple of hours with the Hagman listeners tonight. Folks, parents, grandparents, you've got to get your kids out of these schools. Make the calls, principal. Make the calls to the Hagman. You heard her name 4 or 5 times. Her name is Jennifer Roberts, and I'm pretty sure her phone number is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Let's give Jennifer a call. Welcome her into the mayor's office. Grandparents, I want to speak specifically to you for a moment in my last couple of minutes here on the show tonight. If you are able to, and your kids, okay, grandparents now, I'm talking to grandfathers and grandmothers, if you've got the means and your kids are working hard and they're living paycheck to paycheck, but you've got a little something extra, let's look, take a look at Joshua 24:15 quickly here, okay? Grandparents, if you can, circle the wagons around your family, protect your children, and help your grandchildren out. Get them out of these public schools before it's too late. You know, I'm reminded of my Grandpa Robertson, folks. He had Joshua 24:15 screwed next to the screwed onto the wall next to the front door of his home for like 25-30 years, and I'm just going to read Joshua 24:15 quickly. And if it seem evil unto you to serve, and if it seem evil unto you to serve this Lord or the Lord, choose you this day whom ye serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the key. Grandmothers, grandfathers, hear me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that King James definition of house or home is your household. Quickly, Deuteronomy 8:2. This is important, all right? This is God testing his church. Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And I didn't realize until researching tonight's show, folks, that my Grandpa Robertson was, in fact, keeping the commandments laid out in Deuteronomy. And that being said, I want to give you quickly Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Quickly, folks, we the brethren who backed me up on this show this evening, backed up Brother Flip and backed up Doug and Joe, and are a big part of making all this happen. We wrote 2 articles over the weekend to take a stab back at this thing. You can get them both at brothersonthewall.com or at outlawpatriotnews.com. And those articles are Warrior Ethos by our friend Sergeant Tim, 19 years active duty. Folks, Warrior's Ethos gives you a ton of scripture and explains that sweet spot I prayed about at the intro of the show, the Christian warrior ethos. So be sure to check that article out by Sergeant Tim. And then I wrote an article called Satan's School Bus. And what it does is it just gives you a real good concrete foundation to understand in like 1,000 words or so, real short, what we're dealing with today, what this has all been about. And lastly, last year, about this time last year, myself, Doug and Joe Hagman, Greg Jackson, and David Dunham over at Dunham Books, as well as American Survival Wholesale, we sponsored an enormous book giveaway of Greg Jackson's book, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die. Folks, I've got about 12 copies of that book left. If you will contact me at brothersonthewall.com, the email is info@brothersonthewall.com. I've got 12 of those books. first come, first serve. All you've got to do is email me. I will personally cover the shipping out of my wallet to get this copy of this book to you. Is it because Greg's my friend? Well, yeah, that's part of it. But it's because I want you parents and grandparents to give your kids a fighting chance this summer. Summer starts in a couple of weeks. Yank them by the wrist out of these hellhole schools before it's too late. Give them a copy of 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die. Get them a good study Bible and give your kids a fighting chance. I just go back to my Grandpa Robertson's door. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Folks, thank you for your time this evening. That's it for me. Brother Flip, I'm going to hand it back to you.
Thank you, John.
Well, Doug and Joe, thank you so very much for this time. And I just want to pray with us, if that's all right with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you so much for the privilege of being on this great radio program. And I thank you for Doug and Joe. And I thank you so much for John and Pastor Langford, Coach Greg Jackson, just so many wonderful people that I've met, men that are in the battle, men that are bringing people out to the battle, men who are restating your truth, reaffirming your truth, and then reapplying your truth. God, I just thank you for the privilege that you give us to be those people that you, if we will simply show up, you will show up and show off through us and surprise us all by what you do. And you do it all the time. Just as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, Father God, we're asking you to do it again. Help us here in Charlotte to be a bright shining light for the Son of God, for Jesus, and for your truth, and to help bring light into this dark, dark place so that our kids are not just confused and in chaos, and they are right now, as well as our schools. Everybody is befuddled in the city as to what is happening, and the truth is falling in the streets. God, help us to pick up the truth and continue to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that there would be clarity once again. And Father, we will give you all of the praise and all of the glory. Watch over Hagman and Hagman. Lord, just keep anointing them, keep them burning on the oil of your Holy Spirit, so they don't burn up the wick of their lives, but that they burn the oil of the Holy Spirit, and let your name shine throughout this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Pastor Flip, Brother John, I want to thank both of you for your time tonight, for your insight, for your passion on these issues, and especially for fighting this at a local level. People are so mentally entrapped and taken by the presidential election, seeing this is the most important set of elections that we have in this country, when really local elections are the most important, as they can affect the most change. And each and every Christian male from each and every city need to gather together and start putting new leadership in their local municipalities. Start at local, move to state, and it will branch out into the federal. If we understand that, we will get far in this country.
You know, if I can just say this, morality, spirituality, the love of the truth, biblically based behavior is not a top-down event. It's not a top-down movement. It has to start from within each and every one of us listening to this broadcast or on this broadcast, and from there it, like a flame, goes upward and spreads outward. Don't expect to come from the top down.
Right. We have to get in agreement with Jesus that we need to change ourselves. From there, we need to ask the Lord to move us in the direction to help change others around us and help others help us continue to change toward that biblically right precept. We can't, as quoting Jesus, you know, with a stick in our eye, be pointing out the sins or sticks in other people's eyes.
Oh,
we need to remove
the
sticks from our own eyes before we need to look at another person and cast blame, because everything starts with us and our relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor Flip Benham, thank you so much for your time. John, thank you so much for your time, and as well as organizing this. And we look forward to speaking with both you gentlemen in the near future, having you back on again to to continue our discussion, what we started to talk about last time you guys were on. And I'm sure this issue will not be going away anytime soon, and we'll be on the front lines with you and behind you. And if there's anything you need from us, you just let us know.
This is war saddled for battle, folks.
Absolutely.
Amen. God bless you, brothers.
God bless both you guys. Until next time, have a great evening. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Stan Dale from standale.com. And we got a lot to get into with him: volcanoes, earth changes, earthquakes, and much more. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.